Biodiversity, Section 3, The Future of Biodiversity. Slowing the loss of species is possible, but to do so, we must develop new approaches to conservation and sensitivity to human needs around the globe. In this section, you will read about efforts to save individual species and to protect entire ecosystems. Saving species one at a time. When a species is clearly on the verge of extinction, concerned people sometimes make extraordinary efforts to save the last few individuals. These people hope that a stable population may be restored someday. Captive breeding programs. Sometimes, wildlife experts may attempt to restore the population of a species through captive breeding programs. These programs involve breeding species in captivity with the hope of reintroducing populations to their natural habitats. One example of a captive breeding program involves the California condor, shown in Figure 11. Condors are scavengers. They typically soar over vast areas in search of dead animals to eat. Habitat loss, poaching, and lead poisoning brought the species near extinction. In 1986, the 9 remaining wild California condors were captured by wildlife experts to protect the birds and to begin a breeding program. Birds bred in captivity were released into the wild in the hope that they would breed there. By 2005, there were 121 condors in the wild, a few of them juveniles that had hatched from eggs laid in the wild. The survival of this species remains doubtful. Preserving genetic material. One way to save the essence of a species is by preserving its genetic material. Germplasm is any form of genetic material, such as that contained within the reproductive or germ cells of plants and animals. Germplasm banks store germplasm for future use in research or species recovery efforts. Material may be stored as seeds, sperm, eggs, or pure DNA. Germplasm is usually stored in special controlled environments, such as that shown in Figure 12, to keep the genetic material intact for many years. Farmers and gardeners also preserve germplasm when they save and share seeds. Zoos, aquariums, parks, and gardens. The original idea of zoos was to put exotic animals on display. However, in some cases, zoos now house the few remaining members of a species and are perhaps the species' last hope for survival. Zoos, wildlife parks, aquariums, and botanical gardens are living museums of the world's biodiversity. Botanical gardens, such as the one shown in Figure 13, house about 90,000 species of plants worldwide. Even so, these kinds of facilities rarely have enough resources or knowledge to preserve more than a fraction of the world's rare and threatened species. More study needed. Ultimately, saving a few individuals does little to preserve a species. Captive species may not reproduce or survive again in the wild. Also, small populations are vulnerable to infectious diseases and genetic disorders caused by inbreeding. Conservationists hope that these strategies are a last resort to save species. Preserving habitats and ecosystems. The most effective way to save species is to protect their habitats. But a species confined to a small area could be wiped out by a single natural disaster. Some species require a large range to find adequate food, find a suitable mate, and rear their young. Therefore, protecting the habitats of endangered and threatened species often means preserving or managing large areas. Conservation strategies. Most conservationists now give priority to protecting entire ecosystems rather than individual species. By protecting entire ecosystems, we may be able to save most of the species in an ecosystem instead of only the ones that have been identified as endangered. The public has begun to understand that Earth's biosphere depends on all its connected ecosystems. To protect biodiversity worldwide, conservationists focus on the hotspots described in the previous section. However, they also support additional strategies. One strategy is to identify areas of native habitat that can be preserved, restored, and linked into large networks. Another promising strategy is to promote products that have been harvested with sustainable practices, such as the shade-grown coffee shown in Figure 14. More study needed. Conservationists emphasize the need for more serious study of ecosystems. Only in recent decades has there been research into such basic questions as, how large does a protected preserve have to be to maintain a certain number of species? How much fragmentation can a particular ecosystem tolerate? The answers may be years or decades away, but decisions affecting biodiversity continue to be made based on available information. Legal protections for species. Many nations have laws and regulations designed to prevent the extinction of species, and those in the United States are among the strongest. Even so, there is controversy about how to enforce such laws and about how effective they are. U.S. laws. In 1973, the U.S. Congress passed the Endangered Species Act and has amended it several times since. This law, summarized in Table 4, is designed to protect plant and animal species in danger of extinction. Under the first provision, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, or USFWS, must compile a list of all endangered and threatened species in the United States. As of 2005, 1,272 species of plants and animals were listed as endangered or threatened. Dozens more are considered for the list each year. The second main provision of the Act protects listed species from human harm. Anyone who harms, buys, or sells any part of these species is subject to a fine. The third provision prevents the federal government from carrying out any project that jeopardizes a listed species. Recovery and habitat conservation plans. Under the fourth main provision of the Endangered Species Act, the USFWS must prepare a species recovery plan for each listed species. These plans often propose to protect or restore habitat for each species. However, attempts to restrict human uses of land can be controversial. Real estate developers may be prohibited from building on their own land because it contains critical habitat for a species. People may lose income when land uses are restricted and may object when their interests are placed below those of another species. Although battles between developers and environmentalists are widely publicized, in most cases, compromises are eventually worked out. One form of compromise is a habitat conservation plan, a plan that attempts to protect one or more species across large areas of land through trade-offs or cooperative agreements. The region of California shown in Figure 15 is part of a habitat conservation plan. International cooperation. At the global level, the International Union for the Conservation of Nature and Natural Resources, or IUCN, facilitates efforts to protect species and habitats. This organization is a collaboration of almost 200 government agencies and over 700 private conservation organizations. The IUCN publishes red lists of species in danger of extinction around the world. The IUCN also advises governments on ways to manage their natural resources and works with groups like the World Wildlife Fund to sponsor conservation projects. International trade and poaching. One product of the IUCN has been an international treaty called CITES, the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species. The CITES treaty was the first effective effort to stop the slaughter of African elephants. Elephants were being killed by poachers who would sell the ivory tusks. Efforts during the 1970s and 1980s to limit the sale of ivory did little to stop the poaching. Then, in 1989, the members of CITES proposed a worldwide ban on all trade in ivory, hoping to prevent scenes like those in Figure 16. Some people worried that making ivory illegal might increase the rate of poaching instead of decrease it. They argued that illegal ivory, like illegal drugs, might sell for a higher price. But after the ban was enacted, the price of ivory dropped and elephant poaching declined dramatically. The Biodiversity Treaty. One of the most ambitious efforts to tackle environmental issues on a worldwide scale was the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development, also known as the First Earth Summit. More than 100 world leaders and 30,000 other participants met in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. An important result of the Earth Summit was an international agreement called the Biodiversity Treaty. The treaty's goal is to preserve biodiversity and ensure the sustainable and fair use of genetic resources in all countries. However, the treaty took many years to be adopted into law by the U.S. government. Some political groups objected to the treaty, especially to the suggestion that economic and trade agreements should take into account any impacts on biodiversity that might result from the agreements. The international community will thus continue to have debates like those that have surrounded the Endangered Species Act in the United States. Private conservation efforts. Many private organizations work to protect species worldwide, often more effectively than government agencies. The World Wildlife Fund encourages the sustainable use of resources and supports wildlife protection. The Nature Conservancy has helped purchase millions of hectares of habitat preserves in 29 countries. Conservation International helps identify biodiversity hotspots and develop ecosystem conservation projects in partnership with other organizations and local people. Greenpeace International organizes direct and sometimes confrontational actions, such as the one shown in Figure 17, to counter environmental threats. Balancing human needs. Attempts to protect species often come into conflict with the interests of the world's human inhabitants. Sometimes an endangered species represents a source of food or income. In other cases, a given species may not seem valuable to those who do not understand the species' role in an ecosystem. Many conservationists feel that an important part of protecting species is making the value of biodiversity understood by more people. You've reached the end of this chapter. Before moving on, review the main points of the section by reading the summary. Then take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the review questions. Your teacher may want you to apply your knowledge by completing the lab exercise on the following pages. The chapter review and standardized test preparation will give you additional practice using what you've learned.